Hello, and welcome to another Mad Tech podcast special. This week, we're departing from the usual weekly format to bring you a special episode titled Audio Reimagined. I'm going to be exploring the opportunity for brands and advertisers in audio advertising, and I'm going to be doing that by looking specifically at the Southeast Asian marketplace. Now, audio is another marketing and advertising channel that, particularly at ExchangeWire, we've been heralding as an emerging opportunity for at least the last couple of years, both for brands looking to target consumers via alternative channels, perhaps applying data-driven and programmatic technologies and tools in the process, but also for independent technology suppliers who are looking to innovate and get a share of this part of the advertising marketplace. However, similarly to connected TV, I've been wanting to get a better understanding of what the adoption of digital audio advertising is actually like and how this channel is progressing, if you like, out there in the field. I thought that asking these questions from the point of view of looking at a specific region might also help to unlock some of the reasons that audio advertising is working for those brands who are embracing it, and help the rest of us get a perspective on where this part of the digital advertising industry might be headed next. To better understand this, I spoke with three industry experts, you'll be pleased to know, who've got a significantly better understanding of the audio advertising landscape than I do. Rochelle Hansen, who's Business Director for APAC with PhD in Singapore. Diogo Andrade, who is Head of Automation for Southeast Asia at Spotify. And Thomas Wolf, who's Head of Performance Marketing for APAC at Foodpanda. And the three of them helped me to paint a picture of the audio advertising landscape in Southeast Asia. Now, regular podcast listeners might be interested to know that I've dispensed with recording under the duvet because I've just given up on getting better sound quality. So I hope that's something that you'll forgive me for, and that any sound deficiencies from me or my guests this week will be barely noticeable. I started with asking everyone, what's driven the rise in audio adoption from a consumption point of view? I mean, who doesn't love a good podcast, right? Here's what Diogo and Rochelle had to say.
One of the things that I find interesting with audio, and I'm sure you feel the same, is that you kind of build your own picture. It's like reading a book. It's the same feeling I have, because you're reading a book and the story is in your mind. You know, like you create the characters, you kind of create the landscape. It's kind of up to you. If you see now, like the amount of pressure there is, the visual pressure, you know, like think of even from kids, like meaning like, you know, you're Gen Z, but even, you know, kind of first jobbers and people with jobs, everyone is so visually tired, you know, of media. It's like you're tired of your screen in your phone. You're tired of video calls. You're tired of texting all the time. You're tired of all these things are kind of driving as well, more audio consumption.
Definitely from a demand perspective and the growth and adoption of digital audio, just from a consumer point of view or from a people point of view, you know, I think here specifically in Southeast Asia, you know, we see kind of that middle class growth over the years can intersect with those price points for technology at the right time. And it's really allowing for that increased penetration of mobile phones, smart assistants, digital speakers, etc., become really more accessible and affordable than ever before in Southeast Asia. So obviously all of this tech has really brought the need for kind of great content and audio back to the table. And as we see apps and streaming audio being developed around that through music streaming, podcasts, audiobooks, digital radio, we've definitely seen that real diversified resurgence of audio opportunities become more available. People love listening to stories. They love listening to music. Listening to something brings that emotional aspect out in someone. And so I think for brands and marketers and for clients, how do we tap into that emotional aspect, you know, in a very relevant, authentic and timely way?
So I'd say the first trend that it's common, and again, we spoke about before, is that visual fatigue. I do think people are spending a lot of time at home during this period. I think they're questioning a lot of their time and how they spend it, because it's obviously a time of introspection. And, you know, if you're spending more time at home, you're at home with your family or at home with your partner, and you question, do I spend all my time looking at my phone or watching TV or just consuming a lot of visual media? And it helps as well with work, It happened to me. I'm sure it happened to you. It will happen to anyone in our markets that is a professional, that you get to the end of the day having like 6, 7, 8 video calls, and the last thing you want is more visual content and visual connection. Second one is podcasts, which we also spoke about. We've made obviously a lot of investment in this area. One of the markets we're investing in at a local level is Indonesia. And you can see the podcast consumption increasing significantly in that market. And I do think as well, if we think of podcasts as a content piece, it's not unique to Spotify. Spotify has done quite a good job, is providing a platform for that content to just be heard. It was very scattered, very fragmented. I don't know if you remember trying to listen to podcasts about a couple of years ago. There were so many different apps in different markets. People were accessing that content in totally different ways. Even YouTube benefited massively from that scattering, because people started recording their podcasts through video and uploading into YouTube. I think where Spotify came to help with this is really clean that distribution process and help those podcasts becoming available. And in Southeast Asia, I definitely think a market like Indonesia spearheaded that process. The last one that I think it's very interesting, and this one I think it's common to all of us, but it definitely unique to Southeast Asia, has been the way that people, by spending time at home, change the type of content that they listen to. We see that specifically on the playlist content. That's a signal that it's very easy to gather from a streaming platform. Again, you build your own playlists, but you listen to our curated playlists as well. And just the growth that we saw with things like working out or yoga or cooking or kids or gaming. So this type of trends are very obviously connected to the fact that people are at home.
And as an advertising opportunity, starting with Rochelle's perspective,
do we continue to see it accelerating and an opportunity for marketers, to adopt it more? Like, absolutely. I think even recently with the time period that we're in now, and, we can't go through any kind of interview or podcast at this point without addressing COVID, is especially in Southeast Asia, we've seen studies that show that home entertainment spending is one of the biggest expenditures happening right now. We're seeing that shift in what entertainment and leisure look like for people as we anticipate less travel and less big events. And we're really anticipating, especially in Southeast Asia, more people, even as we recover and open up a little bit, more reluctant to go out and stay home for safety and security. So that naturally is changing consumption behaviors and habits to really focus more and more opportunities around the space of audio. From an agency perspective, as we advise marketers and looking to kind of get their brands out there, we look at audio as we do with every channel. We align it to the role it plays in communication and how we reach those people in context. And we can't ignore the rise in this and we can't recommend enough in terms of our brands and how they adopt it. So a few years ago, a lot of kind of PhDs, neuroplanning studies show that audio is uniquely good at getting people to process rational information when they are in a low involvement state of mind. And, we believe that this is applicable for digital audio as well.
I do think the growth in audio in Asia kind of follows what's happening globally. Again, what we spoke about on not only Spotify growing as a service, just opening up to more markets, just investing in those markets, be it with local content or be it with marketing activities. It's very clear the focus that we have in this region, how much we've invested in Southeast Asia. And I think, I don't think it's unique to Spotify. You have other players coming into the market. There's plenty of people trying to challenge our market share, and that's only positive, I would say, for a consumer, because it just means that there's more audio content available, which then translates into more advertising opportunities around that space. I do think with all of this help and the growth from global, there is still a big gap between consumption of content and actually digital audio spends or advertising revenue coming through.
So there's growth in audio consumption, driven in part by the extraordinary circumstances we're all living through in 2020 as a result of the pandemic. But Is spend actually shifting to this channel? It seems there's a bit of a lag. What are the barriers? Thomas from Food Panda shared his experience of why they've adopted audio advertising.
To be honest, digital audio has been very new to myself and we weren't really doing much before. It came up as something we wanted to do when COVID really started because our offline buys, we had to stop. Radio even didn't make that much sense anymore, but certainly not our out-of-home buys. As we canceled all the offline buys because productions had to stop, eyeballs were really stopping. A lot of countries, mostly started with Singapore, but then also Philippines, Taiwan, were like, okay, what else can we do? And we're like, okay, let's take advantage of the fact that people are at home. And that's really how it started. So now we're up and running for a few months in a few countries. Downside is you can't really track it. And the minute it's online, it becomes like a tracking conversation. So it's a bit of an setting up the narrative. It is still a brand medium and brand awareness medium. But that's really, really how it started from nowhere. And I didn't have any background on this. And through this COVID period, we were like, let's do this to complement our activities that we have, that we usually would have going on the offline space.
But he was also quick to emphasize some obvious challenges from a brand point of view.
I was going a little bit into that earlier, right? That because it's online, the first thing that comes up is, okay, how do we measure it? And, you know, deep down, a performance marketing guy, data is key, measurement is key. I immediately think in the angle of multi-touch attribution, measuring all the touch points. But that's really where some of the challenges are, that unless you're not fully programmatic, it's a challenge. And even the audio players out in the market, they don't have the capabilities themselves to set up tracking. Tracking, if it's online, you can talk about web tracking or app tracking, but they're not even set up to do that. It's like, okay, we can't do it. We can sign a direct IO with you. But if you want to measure something, you know, impression and clicks and conversions, you know, you can integrate with, you know, programmatic platform ABC. Audio closely belongs to, I would say, like a social channel, social display or overall display. And here we get into topics such as, you know, impressions, click fraud, impression fraud. So these are things that are, I would say, a challenge because they don't really exist as much as they should in the digital audio space, where it's just a mindset shift also for organizations like ourselves that, you know, it is more of a brand buy. It is more of a brand awareness buy or reserve buy. I'm not an auction buy to that extent. We're doing it because we still believe that it can drive value from an awareness perspective, getting in front of people where they actually spend a lot of their time, which right now is at home. People do listen to music behind the scenes. People do browse online. So our online investment has been quite stable. But as our offline marketing dropped, we just added on digital audio in this sphere, but not really measuring it.
Rochelle was clear that audio conversations are part of a holistic approach for them when they're supporting their brand clients. But she also felt that some of the challenges for brands weren't just associated with measurement.
We go into any situation channel agnostic. And I think any brand and any client of ours are looking for that education and those opportunities to be brought to them by their agencies. Digital audio is absolutely part of it. If their audience is there and the data backs it up, we know we can be effective against our clients' objectives. And then we typically don't see that reluctance in wanting to adopt digital audio advertising. Now, you could probably go into other areas where there's barriers around creative or assets or, you know, whatnot. But I think we're lucky in the sense that our clients choose PHD because they know that we're bringing an audience-led connections plan to them and digital audio, you know, against that kind of specific objective and that role for communications, if relevant, will be on there. Now, it won't be on there for the sake of just being on there. It'll be on there because it makes sense. Getting closer to, you know, a measurable metric for our clients. So what is deemed effective, you know, in the land of digital audio, whether that be reach or a specific engagement metric. You know, it hasn't been really adopting digital audio advertising as an opportunity that's the barrier. It's the, I think it's the, you know, the creativity and the assets around it. You know, I think specifically in Southeast Asia, a challenge we tend to run into with some of our brands is the ability to create assets fit for purpose and fit for the medium, you know, if we've learned anything from our past, you can't take a TV ad and put it on YouTube, and you can't take a video ad and just throw it on social media. So how do we make sure and help our clients and our brands come up with solutions to drive creativity?
I'll start with adoption so far or thus far in the region. It's definitely, and we all know that it's behind the adoption of digital audio advertising compared to even Australia. Not to mention, obviously, Europe and North America. I think that's due to multiple different things. The first one is radio is still huge in most of the Southeast Asian markets. I think radio stations still are alive and kicking. The commute is extremely important in Southeast Asia, just due to traffic alone. People spend a lot of time in their cars. And I think that moment is where radio really owns and I think marketers have found a hard time to understand how audiences have shifted into streaming audio content digitally and how they can make use of that and just basically find that audience in a different way. That is more from a roadblock. I would say the other big roadblock that we face on a daily basis is there is a disconnection between marketers and brands that do want to test audio. That they understand that shift from radio into streaming. They understand the incremental reach they can get. It's a very different audience as well in majority of cases. And they do see as well their global counterparts, you know, building sonic branding, for example, and having very solid audio strategies. The big frustration that marketers have, and even at an agency level, is there's no creative knowledge. So there is no creative agency with digital audio expertise, which means a lot of times either they're taking a radio ad and placing it on streaming, which is definitely not advisable, completely different platform. It would be the same thing like 15 years ago, someone taking a TVC and putting it into a digital ecosystem. So it's a very similar no-go or bad practice. And if creative agencies are not building fresh digital audio creative, it's very hard then for marketers and agencies to execute.
Diogo also pointed to marketers sometimes not quite understanding the value of the audience and potential for reach.
One is the free versus paid conversation, which happens all the time with us. A lot of the marketers we speak to, a lot of the agency folks that we speak to, pay for Spotify. They pay to listen our content, which means they don't understand that there's this huge population that doesn't pay for it and therefore is exposed to advertising, because it's hard to understand the scale and the reach. If you yourself sitting down as a marketer, you don't experience it. The creative element is not as straightforward as we would think, because you can play around with a lot of things, with sound, with effects, with obviously the voiceover, music, you can do a lot. But the delivery of an audio ad is very, very straightforward. It's uploaded into a VAST tag and delivered, you know, in an ad slot. There's a duration for it. Majority of supply sources, if not all, comply to very similar specs. So I don't see that issue coming through.
I was interested to understand if some of these barriers fed into a brand's strategic approach to audio and other channels. How is it viewed in the longer term? Thomas was clear that it has to complement how they organize themselves internally from a media buying and execution point of view.
I think we're on a journey towards where we are and where we want to be in the future. So we are spending money not just on your conversion-centric metrics, such as, you know, when Foodpanda is driving orders or driving user acquisitions, but we're also launching new propositions. We're launching new offerings to the market, such as groceries. That's also not just Foodpanda, but also our competition is driving new verticals to begin with. And if you do that, it's also about how do you get the message out? And it's like, oh, Foodpanda cannot just do food anymore. They can also deliver toilet paper. Yeah, who knows that if there's no, you know, branding play, either offline or online or 360 approach. Because we're not doing holistically programmatic, we have revived the programmatic conversation purely because of digital audio. And because we're not just going into performance buys, but also branding buys, there are aspirations that we combine both in the future more. Do we want to set up a programmatic, a holistic programmatic ecosystem in the future, in-house or agency, TBD? Right now, we're not there. So where we come back with digital audio is we have a bit of programmatic solutions internally. We have been buying programmatically. But because we don't do it for Foodpanda, at least holistically, it tends to be very expensive. So unless you don't have a fully programmatic solution or programmatic desk in-house, performance buys, brand buys, the fees in terms of the commissions, because you can't get into that negotiation play, are very expensive. So it's always cheaper to do it with an agency. So long story short, we have been running it in-house programmatic. We have been running it through the agency's programmatic desk. And something more recently, to be a bit more self-sustainable, plus also not having those heavy fees, we have been running some tests with the platforms that exist on the platforms directly. If you want to go digital audio, there's no one size fits all today. Audio has been a programmatic conversation, in-house or agency, but nothing else. And if there isn't something else, what's the game plan of digital audio players to get to almost increase their buyers, not just from a brand buyers, but also performance buyers, almost like for these players, expand their current target audience, expand their potential money they could be receiving by opening themselves up to other types of advertisers, not just so only brand guys anymore, but also really the high growth startups that also have high acquisition and retention targets.
I asked Rochelle if conversations relating to the value of digital audio were becoming easier with brand clients.
As we work with bespoke solutions with them to drive more creativity or innovation in the space, which is what I think audio is providing us. You know, it's not just a line item on a media plan, but it's the ability to use a platform in a more creative and innovative way. So in short, I do see these conversations not being as difficult as what they used to be. I also think brands are very open to, they know things are shifting, they know things are changing. Everything has been obviously turned upside down with the situation around COVID. And so they're really looking us to stay on top of what are those media moments or those media habits that are changing and those consumptions that are changing and what is short term and what's here to stay.
And Diogo had this to say from a client point of view.
I think the brands that have been testing with us, they're seeing that global innovation. They understand from their global counterparts how audio operates and works, and they come to us for advice. And I mean, I wouldn't say that Spotify holds the whole and full truth of what digital audio is, but we've invested a lot of time into educating ourselves and having the right resources in the region to be able to advise a brand in a fairly concise and unbiased point of view on how to build an audio strategy. And we can help brands and we can help agencies. And we've been doing that with success here and there. It's driven by those global brands that understand that they need to have an audio entity even. Because if you don't have an audio identity in the next year to 2 years, it will be challenging for these brands to communicate in a completely different space, which we know it's going to happen in Southeast Asia. And personally, and I'm sure you deal with a lot of people in this region, we're always saying that Southeast Asia is kind of 2 years behind or 3 years behind. Everyone has their own theory. But the truth is, if you look at markets like Indonesia, if you look at markets like Philippines, Thailand, they're huge, huge markets. They're a big population and they will have a leap. And they might as well take over in innovation in a lot of ways of what's happening in Europe. The world's changing that way, so I don't necessarily believe it's because they're behind. I think there's a lot of traditional marketing that still needs a bit of a reform and a change in how things are operated. But that change can happen tomorrow. This is what I feel in Southeast Asia, being in the region for 11 years. I think when things change here, they change from one day to another.
I asked everyone if they felt the technology was there yet when it comes to audio advertising. There was a range of views, starting with some measured enthusiasm from Tiogo. Rochelle's fairly balanced perspective, which included an eagerness to see what else can be done from a creative point of view. And Thomas was pretty clear in setting out his challenge to tech solution providers and the industry in general.
So I've been in this role for 2 years. Obviously, previously, I was not working in audio. So the first time I was exposed to audio advertising was at Spotify. And I joined Spotify at a time that there were a lot of limitations. I think at the time, this is 2018, only one or maybe two DSPs could buy audio inventory. It was only available from a programmatic standpoint at Spotify via private marketplaces. So again, open exchange or programmatic guaranteed was not even an option. And we worked primarily with one supply partner to basically make this inventory available. You fast forward 2 years, and I don't know any DSP that cannot buy audio. So all the major DSPs can buy audio together with video and display. And from a supply point of view, not only you have more partners and more supply people putting it out there, but by partnering with the likes of Google, we can also make audio available via programmatic guaranteed, which did help a lot driving growth in the programmatic channel. I think one obvious one that always comes in conversation is buyers buy video and display by default, majority of times, if not just display. So the fact that via one single source of technology, which is the DSP, they can buy across audio and those formats and be able to frequency in an effective manner, just that alone for me would be a big advantage of using programmatic to buy audio versus transacting on a contract basis or managed basis.
I think there's definitely been a shift in spend toward more kind of in-home consumption moments where we can identify those. One thing that to say that we put it on a media plan, great. It's working well for our clients. It's been effective. But really, I think the real opportunity here is how can we use this growing trend to drive more creativity? It really, you know, we don't have the confinements of sometimes specific limited inventory or spots or positions on a page. We can really, you know, audio brings back that kind of old feeling of storytelling. So how do we use that to drive that innovation? We've worked with clients, you know, on multi-channel approaches that included those digital audio ads and, you know, those 15 seconds, which is the right thing to do. But more interestingly, you know, we've been helping our clients develop those kind of bespoke creative capabilities around content through whether it's our specialist services or working very closely with partners like Spotify who have Spotify Studio as a creative solution to really drive those content-driven sponsorships.
Working with the players in terms of, okay, what's your strategy? Not every organization has a programmatic stack, and you're offering like direct platforms for advertisers to buy your solution. But it's like, okay, you buy it and you can't even track impressions or clicks only if you go on a programmatic platform. So if you develop these self-serve platforms on your end, you have to think further in terms of ad tech development, in terms of integration into third-party tracking and measurement tools, which I haven't seen to date. And it's like internal product requests from these players. Like, okay, yeah, fair point. Let's put it on the roadmap to do, because we haven't really been thinking that way. Post-COVID scenario, what is that looking like? And to be honest, I don't have that answer, because once we slowly but surely move back to normal, the traditional channels on the brand side will become back available. And then those plans that those players that were, you know, the agency will come back and the media agencies will come back into play in terms of like planning the holistic campaigns online, offline. And that's where a lot of the money will go back to the traditional channels. For a company like us, we have a lot of offline investment as well, from billboards to buses to you know, it's important we get our eyeballs that way. So those spends, they could come down. Why does digital audio only have to sit in a kind of reserve IO buying format approach. It doesn't have to. And even if you look at Spotify, yes, there's audio, but there's also video. What is that game plan for the future? Yeah, where does it sit? It's not very decided. And I guess that's where the ecosystem has to come together. From an APAC standpoint, I would love to see, you know, a product roadmap in terms of like, are there aspirations to grow player A or player A in the region? Then how do you tailor yourself to that region and also the industry environment? And there's only, in this case, it's only a win-win outcome if resources were invested. Advertisers keep asking, but the industry needs to respond. Otherwise, the ad spend dollars go somewhere else.
I wanted to hear about some of the things specific to the Southeast Asian market that made audio attractive or fueled it as a potential growth channel, and whether we're going to see some innovation in Southeast Asia before we see that in Western markets.
If you think as well of the scale of the opportunity, which will be significant, again, because of the big populations, because of music being at the center of how these people express their culture, and knowing that there are multiple supply sources, it will get to that point. And I think the other thing that will accelerate this change from just a digital audio standpoint is that during this period, obviously, radio has been massively affected. We all know that. Radio, again, relied a lot on the commuting moment, and that commuting moment has disappeared in most countries in our region with lockdown and with people now obviously being either working from home or still in a very in-between stage. That will bring attention to marketers and agencies that will understand, wait, this is a big medium, and where are these people? Like, what are they doing and how are they listening to their audio content? We knew where they were, but now might bring more attention to that fact.
Rochelle emphasizes the opportunity in Southeast Asia's second and third tier cities.
I think what's really been exciting in Southeast Asia is obviously Singapore is a great market when you're test bedding a lot of initiatives. You know, Singapore is a small city state, but it's also a very advanced city state. So a lot of the partners that, you know, we work at a global level tend to work with us here as a bit of a hub, you know, pioneering new test and learns and new ways of, you know, testing digital audio with our clients. But I think the more exciting markets, and I'm based in Singapore, by the way, is, you know, it's markets like Indonesia, where they really, I think they're forging ahead in a lot of this because, you know, Indonesia is where we see growth when we go back to kind of that millennial Gen Z, this young people growth that's really driving adoption of the diversified tech and audio opportunities. And they have the ability to drive scale. And I think that's where, you know, we struggle sometimes in other smaller markets around Southeast Asia. So places like Indonesia and Thailand, young, growing consumers, set of people, their access to devices and to digital and to technology, and, you know, and their big passion around music. There's a lot of local players as well. There are global players. So that, you know, I would say Indonesia is an exciting market that, you know, we see. And also we see our partners also putting their focus into those markets. I think the growth we will start to see will go beyond some of the cities. So, you know, we've seen cities like Jakarta, Bangkok, you know, Ho Chi Minh City, Singapore really be the growth factors in a lot of these behaviors. I think where we're going to see more growth is, you know, outside of those cities, where a lot of these these people are getting more access to 3G, 4G, you know, in some of these areas, we're still on 3G, you know, as 4G becomes a thing and Wi-Fi becomes more readily available. So I think some of that growth and those trends are definitely going to happen. And I think we'll be ready for it and we'll be positioned for it. And I think it will really allow some of our brands to really just go beyond buying those 15-second ads, but really think about what they could be doing in this space. That brings authenticity to life. For some of these people.
Any surprising results or feedback from a brand point of view so far?
One thing I can say for a fact is I've never seen anyone disappointed when they bought audio. Obviously, you have to clarify what kind of KPIs a buyer has, but typically, in a lot of manners, buyers compare video to audio because, again, display, I think it's in his own universe. And if you compare video to audio, obviously not only your cost to reach a user is much lower with audio, but again, you have a totally different engagement out of that. And again, another big piece of this that determines success. So when you look at a brand awareness campaign is incremental reach, where Spotify specifically, I can't speak for other audio streaming platforms, typically performs really high. There is a big part of an audience that probably spends a lot of time listening to music and might not be browsing the internet the same way that, you know, marketers think they are. You know, maybe they do obviously spend a lot of time on your social platforms. It doesn't necessarily mean they're easily findable via programmatic buying. So that's definitely an advantage and something that a lot of our clients have communicated back that they were very surprised and impressed by.
Suddenly it became a topic. Buzzwords have been programmatic. But even in APAC, which has been growing, the programmatic ecosystem in APAC has been going much faster than in Europe, for instance. But even so, digital audio is always a conversation. Yeah, once you go programmatic, you can do digital audio. You can do, you know, smart TVs and all that. But it's like never really seen it progress from a can. The conversations were, let's get you into a programmatic conversation. Let's get your stack set up. And then we worry about the media buying later. But the surprise then, I guess, was from there being an appetite from countries, from local marketing teams. We want to try this. We believe it can be valuable. We can't do offline. We don't know where to put this money. So that's been the surprise, I would say. That there is an appetite. At this moment, I'm just not sure whether it's an appetite because we don't know where to spend the money elsewhere, or it's because of an appetite because there's a general belief that digital audio should be part of our media mix. That answer I don't have, and I don't think our countries have it either. So it remains to be seen what happens when all channels are back up online, our streets are busy and buzzing again, and it will be exciting to see what happens.
And where does everyone think audio advertising is heading next?
One of the things that we're going next is more of a going next for Southeast Asia, not necessarily going next as a global. So I think one of the things that we've seen in Europe and again, Australia, let's just consider those markets outside of Southeast Asia that we've seen growing in the past year has been dynamic audio. And you have companies like A Million Ads and other ad servers coming in and helping through technology, delivering dynamically audio assets and creative. And that's only possible, obviously, using technology. And that's, I think, something that in Southeast Asia we will see for sure. We're not there yet because the commercials just don't make sense and nobody's actually sitting here offering that technology. I think that's the one that I think in Southeast Asia will happen and will scale. I think the second one that probably the whole industry desperately needs is having a measurement, a benchmark and a measurement that is unique to audio that buyers and marketers can then aim towards and understand their effectiveness comparing audio supply platforms. You know? And that's something that I'm sure will happen. And that will be a big change, I would say, for the industry in the same way that, you know, viewability change the discourse around video. I think we need to find an identical way of measuring effectiveness of audio advertising, and that will definitely change the way that marketers are looking at it.
It's a good momentum for a company like this to think what could we do, but work very closely with industries and agencies to develop the narrative, not just from a sales perspective, but really from a customer sentiment, customer audience perspective in Philippines, in Taiwan, in USA, in Germany, wherever you may be, what do people respond to? And is there a need for digital audio where we need to look into, you know, new survey data, YouGov data or certain data sources that exist? It's a good question to ask as we progress into the post-COVID environment. I would urge these players to think ahead. innovate and to own this agenda, to have to use this time to develop the research that doesn't exist, but is something that the industry needs to move towards more and get advertisers, including Foodpanda, and we're just one of thousands or millions, but we need to bring these conversations up and center in terms of, is digital audio something that is not to be missed in our media mix? We need to get there as an industry in the next few months.
And if you think, once again, in 2018, at this time, we had 173 million monthly active users. And today we have 286 million. The growth, I believe, is going to continue to come from emerging markets. If we look at recent trends as well in advertising, that, again, traditional media is shifting. And in Southeast Asia, it's still a reality that the traditional media is still the bigger bulk of spend of a marketer. And assuming that those dollars are going to come into digital and knowing how audio provides all the benefits that we spoke before, I definitely see a bright future for digital audio advertising in this region.
We're excited for this. We've worked with a lot of our clients around this. And I personally have a passion for audio as an, you know, as an avid lover. So I believe that this is definitely going to continue to be part of the future and stay with us for a while.
Overall, I sensed a real passion, especially from Rochelle, in seeing this channel bloom. And it was really great to hear her and Diogo's enthusiasm for the creative possibilities in audio. Thomas put forward a pretty clear call to arms for the industry to ensure that brands and marketers are being listened to, especially when expressing their requirements from a measurement and a value point of view. That's that marketer perspective that the ad tech industry is always saying they're looking for. Sounds like there's plenty of opportunity for collaboration across the industry in audio advertising right now. So I think it's going to be pretty interesting 6 to 12 months ahead of us. Thanks for listening, and keep an ear open for our second Connected TV special episode, which will be released shortly.